Morning, church. I want you to rise up and somebody hug this morning. Welcome them to church and bless them. Say some nice things to them, especially their mothers. Yeah, just background. Yeah, look at it. Everyone okay? How's Craig come up here? Those kids are beautiful. What a wonderful tribute from the children and also from Pastor Judith. She's a real, what do you think? Powerful speech and powerful tribute to the mothers. Hallelujah. Very remember, Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord. Papa God, we bring this service before you. Lord, I bring your word before you. Lord, I pray again that you hide me from your people. Hide me from men. So that, Lord, only your voice will be heard. Only your word will be heard. Father, we come humbly before you. Because your word is everlasting, the everlasting. Your word is power. Your word is life unto our feet that guides our feet, O God, in all our days. And Lord, we just pray that you inspire your word this morning into the hearts of all of us, every man, every woman and children, all the families that are here this morning. God, I thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, today is Mother's Day, as you all know, and many families around the world are celebrating their mothers and thanking them for all the hard work they've done, hallelujah. And that's not taking it casually. It's very, very true, hallelujah. Those of you watching on live stream, we welcome you as well. Happy Mother's Day. I hope you're blessed this morning. And it is truly hard work, as my wife said, carrying you for 9 months and then, you know, giving birth to you. And we men complain about little work. My goodness. Sometimes without anesthetic. Ooh, hallelujah. That's pretty strong. And it's, they normally give it to the man, actually. I go in there and I say, yeah, give me that bottle. I'll have that one. Countless day of caring for you, sleepless nights when you're sick. Hallelujah. And on top of that, still managing the household because there are still children to be taken care of. Amen? Including the husband. One of the children in the house. All the man said, now you men don't go quiet on me this morning. I'll be speaking to you directly because it's Mother's Day. I'll be speaking to the fathers. And it's good. It's good for us to get the Word of God because I don't want to come and preach you a nice story. I want to give you principles of the Word of God because the Word of God is principle. When you apply it, it happens. It starts to manifest in our life. Hallelujah. As I watch my wife and the mother of my children run the Hakalit Towers, I'm always proud. I'm always proud that God gave me a good helper. Amen? A true champion, I should say. A gift from God. She's and it also goes for you mothers who are also in this house. Whatever I'm saying to my wife, it's the same for you. Amen. You know, she's truly far worse than rubies, as the song. I asked Jen to sing this song because she wrote it for the mother. It's a song that's written in the house, and it's always going to be our Mother's Day song. Amen. God knew I needed a good woman, and God knew that you needed a good woman. By that, I mean she keeps me in line with reminding me my responsibilities as a father of the house. Man, I listen to the Holy Ghost, and I've got also another voice sitting right next to me that's always saying things, especially when you're driving. The Holy Ghost is talking, and there's somebody else saying 60, 40, 60, 80. My car had this, you know, automatic thing that talks to you every time. I got so fed up, I turned it off. Because I got two voices talking to me at the same time. I'm flying down 80 kilometers zone, coming to 60, and then the voice will say, please abide by all traffic regulations. And then she's going 60, 60, 60. So praise the Lord for our wives, eh? She is my helper. It is not good that a man should be alone, Bible says. I will make him a helper, comparable to him. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Let me just clarify those words that we men always take for granted. Amen? Without realizing the weight of that word, helper. Judith said, go and study this word, helper. And I said, yeah, I will. I says, you've been speaking about the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is also called a helper. And I thought, oh, that's it. It's so true. So, man, God calls your wife a helper. The phrase suitable helper has become outdated. Somebody say amen to that. And it's now misleading in translation. It's so watered down, it's just a word now. But when you understand the Hebrew context of this word and how God sees what he says, it is so powerful. The Hebrew phrase is the word Ezer or Ezer. E-Z-E-R, which translates to help. Literally means a helper suited to, worthy of, or corresponding to. Not your slave, not your assistant. That's what the world sees helpers. God sees your wife differently from how the world sees them. The same word is used to describe the Holy Spirit. Hello, somebody. Says Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Ezer, the helper, will not come to you. In Psalm 121, verse 1 to 2, the Bible says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my Ezer comes from? My Ezer comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Therefore, we cannot say that God is a subservient to humankind. He is not our assistant. So your wife is not your assistant. God gave you and I, our wives, and gave them an attribute that is similar to him. Hallelujah. That is powerful. So the word helper should not be taken as one who is a modern-day personal assistant, but instead the one who is able to what? Help another in their time of need. I see my wife do that all the time. My wife's got a more pastor's heart than I have. I can confess that in front of you and admit that. She thinks of everything. She's already, before things happen, she always thinks ahead of everything. Hallelujah. That's a powerful attribute of God. When no one else is suitable or fitting, that's your wife. She's different from every other person. Hallelujah. Fathers, brothers, sons, God gave your wife, your mother, your sister, your daughters, the very same attribute that he himself has. Man, look at your wife from God's perspective. Amen? And you will always love and respect her. Just the same way as you love and respect God. Same way. If you understand that, you will never abuse your wife. Hello, somebody. If you understand that, you will only have a helper, not helpers. Somebody say amen to that. God says, this man needs a helper. That means just one. Not helpers. Many. You can't handle many. You can only handle one. So why do you need many? That's why God says, only one. Man only need one. Hallelujah. Proverbs 31 is a 31 to 10 to 31 is a beautiful proverb describing the mothers and our wives, and it talks about the great qualities, gifts they possess as their characters. And Jan sang this beautiful song, which has all these words in it. But I just wanted to, I want you to read this at your own time. But I want to go through some key scriptures, key paragraphs, just to pick out some wonderful principles from this scripture that really covers everything that our mother or older women in our life are. And older fathers said, older fathers went quiet. Amen. Man, you should be punching the fist in the air going, amen, pastor. Preach it, hallelujah. I want to get more. Men are turning around looking at the wives going, amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 12 says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Hallelujah. That's the song. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. Wow. So he will have no lack or gain of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Hallelujah. A woman is a blessing. Yes, she is a blessing to her husband, honest and supportive. Verse 15 to 17 says, she also raises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. Hallelujah. A portion for her maidservants, she considers a field and buys it. She's a great manager. At profits, she plants a vineyard and she girds herself with strength. And I don't see it in any man. This is a powerful description of the attributes of a woman. She is protective of a household, nurturing and hardworking. Verse 18 to 20 says, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. Wow. She stretches her hand or stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She is a blessing, not just to her own family, but also a great blessing to the community. Verse 18 to 20 talks about that. Very good manager of money. My wife is excellent at that. I am crazy terrible. And a very charitable to others. Hallelujah. Think about your mothers. Think about the women in your life. Think about your grandmothers, those who have raised you up. Those are the great attributes of this amazing woman. Verse 22 says, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Hallelujah. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the matrons. Very, very industrial minded. That shows that she is mindful of caring for herself too. She is mindful of how she dresses, and she is good with her hands. In other words, she is polished in appearance and skilled in a craft. Hallelujah. All the fathers said, amen. Very quiet amen there. Finally, verse 25 to 31 says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you have excelled. That's what you should be saying. Your husband should be saying to your wives. Many daughters have done well, but you have done so well. Hallelujah. That's what you should be writing on the Mother's Day card. Saying, honey, many daughters have done well, but we're at this next level. Hallelujah. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Wow. She is faithful to God, God-fearing, and clothed with inner beauty. It's not about the beauty of the outside, it's the beauty of the inside that makes it who we see. Verse 25 speaks of her spiritual attire. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She understands the importance of living life with courage and virtue, and wears those qualities in the way she carries herself and interacts with others. That's the helper God gave you. Amen. You have a helper with all these attributes sitting next to you. You're married. You're still looking for one? Don't use it as an excuse to find one. All right? While she has fine linen, it's a strength and dignity that her most beautiful garments and clothing speak of her spiritual life. I want all your fathers to stand this morning. Stand up. All the fathers. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All the young men too. You're not a father. You are soon to be a father. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at that. Amazing man of God in the house. Come on, son. Stand up. Stand up. All you young men, stand up. Stand up. There you go. There you go. Amen. I am so proud of you. I am honored to have you in the house today, because you are the one that's going to be understanding all this and treating your husband the way God wanted it to be treated. Amen? Your wife, sorry. Hallelujah. Let me just refresh that. Your wife, okay? Thank you. You can sit down. I wanted you to stand up because I want to speak to you. First, let me say this. And this scripture, you young men, this scripture should never be used as a checklist of attributes by which to criticize a woman. Amen? You never use this scripture to try and correct your woman, or use it as an attribute for which you want to criticize a woman. Using this proverb this way condemns a woman because it cuts through the meaning and the context of the proverb. When interpreting this scripture, it is important to remember that our God is a God of hope. He's hoping that you will change. Whatever that situation where you're living in right now, you will change. It will happen. Hallelujah. Who wants what's best for his children? Who made us in his image, male and female? God honors women. He chooses a woman to bring his only son into the world without the involvement of a man in the conception. Hello, somebody. We read in the Bible the works of great women whom God used to fulfill his will, his intent, and his purpose. That's why when people say women should not preach, rubbish. He created women for a purpose. And if you don't know that purpose of why a woman was created, then you will abuse her. This scripture should be viewed in the context which it is written. And you will say, Pastor Ben, why was it written? I'll tell you why it was written. It was written to celebrate the many blessings of the women in our lives, who work hard, love abundantly, and serve as role models of principle and integrity. Our mothers, our wives, our sisters, and our daughters. It was written to advise men on how to appreciate the woman of your life. Hello, somebody. All the men says, amen, Pastor. I truly appreciate, as my wife has already said, those who are single mothers. That's tough. That's tough. But I've seen them done things that no man can ever do. That's why God gave us a woman called the helper. And the same attribute of God is inside that woman. Hallelujah. I want to talk to the family this morning. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 to 5 says, through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes. A man of knowledge increases strength. This verse talks about building a successful family, a successful home, family foundation, and family foundation that requires both mother and the father. a man and a woman. Steve and Mary. Not Steve and Jerry. Amen? Oh yeah, I said it. We don't go hiding around and cowering over under a rock to hide from the word of God, which is true. Because the family union is being destroyed by the government. This scripture never mentions, you know, the scripture mentions that three important things. One, wisdom. Two, understanding. And three, knowledge. This scripture never mentions love. Hello, somebody. Why? Love has got nothing to do with this. Love does not guarantee a successful family. People fall in love and fall out of love. You explain to me what love has got anything to do with family. You come and you tell me, I love my wife, and the next day I hate my wife. What does love got to do with that? What's love got to do with that? That's a song. My brain just shifted straight to Tina Turner. I'm doing it. Oh dear. Well, Tina Turner was singing something she doesn't even know about. People fall in love, fall out of love. It shows that love has got nothing to do with successful family. Hear me very carefully so you don't misquote me. The world based everything on love, sex. They think that this is what's keeping marriage together. Sex and marriage and love doesn't keep it together. Some of you have experienced that. The problem is Christians fall into this trap all the time. Why? Because we don't understand the principles of the Word of God. We follow everything that the world does, and what the world does is what Satan does. Hallelujah. It's influenced by Satan himself. Young people, listen to me very carefully. Double. Hear it very clearly. Who are planning to become fathers and mothers. The Bible never tells us to get information only. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, go and get wisdom. And then he says, and while in all this getting of wisdom, go and get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. You can sit in church, hear information. But until you get understanding and apply wisdom, you will not change. Hello, somebody. They're great listeners in the church. People like to listen. But until you get understanding and then apply wisdom to the understanding, you're not going to change. You cannot understand or you cannot apply what you don't understand. If you want to build a strong home, a strong marriage, a strong family, don't go after kisses and hugs and lovey-dovey tact and all this. That doesn't build a family. Listen to me very carefully. Don't go after that. Satan says go after that. But God says go after what? Information, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And you will have a house full of precious treasure. That's God's word. Satan says go after sex and love and lovey-dovey. And then when you fall out of love, how do you explain that? Oh, I was really in love with that person. Now I'm out of love. Love's got nothing to do with successful family. The foundation of marriage and family hangs on this very principle. And those who apply it will see the fruits of it. Young men, young women especially. I don't have daughters, but I don't know how to deal with my daughters if I had daughters. I had four boys. I already got headaches. But daughters, I think I don't know how to deal with daughters. But I'm going to give you a great advice. If a young man comes to you and says, I love you, Tell him to go and read the Word of God first. And then tell him, have you got a job? And then ask him, give me a vision of your life. Where are you supposed to take me? Because I'm quite happy under my dad's covering right now. My dad's looking after me. What have you got that can beat my dad? You got no job? You want to tell him, get a job. I'm serious, get a job. And while you're at it, get a haircut. And get a life, and then come. Then come to me and say, I want to marry you. Don't just go and seek out people married just because of sex, or just because you love somebody because they're pretty. Pretty has got nothing to do with anything in successful marriage. Hallelujah. We live by a different set of laws. We are supposed to live by the standard of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Which is this book. Being a salt and a light does not mean preserving something. It means to light it up from the darkness. You're supposed to light up the darkness. Bring truth. Light means truth. Darkness means ignorance. Because it's got nothing to do with sun and night. When you have light, you have truth inside of you. When you have darkness, you're living in ignorance. Hallelujah. It means living by the laws of the kingdom, raising the standard, and our standard must be higher because the kingdom of God requires that. Jesus requires that all the time, which means we don't get divorced of any other reason except adultery. That's what he said. Hallelujah. Having said this, let me clarify this. Listen to what Jesus said when the Pharisees were trying to test him with a question based on their law. Imagine that. Man trying to trap the word. And we still haven't learned our lesson from that. We think we can outsmart God. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 to 7. The Pharisees were trying to test Jesus. And he answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Man, you leave your mother and your father, and bring the covering of the covering that's already above the woman, which is her father, and you take over that covering. That's why you get married to that woman. Don't marry her for sex and all the other stuff. Verse 6 says, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." Because marriage is created by God. Humans should not destroy it, including the government. Government has no right whatsoever to touch something that is so important to God. Look at the scripture. Jesus doesn't get into the exceptions of divorce first. Instead, it begins with God's design and plan for marriage. Verse 7, he says, "They said to him, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Pharisees, they were quoting Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1 to 4, which is one of the laws, to Jesus because they viewed this statement as a command. Verse 8, he said to them, "Because of your hardness of your heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it has not been this way." Permit is different from command. Permit means to give concession. It is a totally different word, the command. And the Pharisees got this all mixed up. And they're trying to trap Jesus. Did God command divorce? Not at all. God hates divorce. He says in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, "For the Lord God of Israel says he hates divorce." This is why Jesus called his law a concession, not a command. Because of the hardness of heart, God allowed you to go and get a divorce. It wasn't a command. It was a concession. The oldest institute on earth, older than the government, which means the government have no rights to touch, is marriage and family. Somebody say amen to that. God started in the garden, not with a church, with a family. Family is important to God. God is serious about family because the family is the cure for all our social problems. That is the biggest common denominator. If you trace a problem into society, it goes way back to family. Whether it's psychological, emotional, or spiritual, Satan knows that to destroy society, he must first destroy family. That is why the government is influenced by Satan. Somebody say amen to that. And the government wants to redefine, and through Satan wants to redefine family. The success of a healthy nation depends entirely upon a healthy, stable family that has a mother and a father. Tom and Mary, not Tom and Jerry. The church, who is supposed to be the agency of the kingdom of heaven, must raise up and establish that. We are supposed to be the agency of the kingdom of heaven, and we must rise up and establish that truth. Hallelujah. Single young men, young women listening this morning, the ball is in your court to make the difference. Hallelujah. Almighty God will take care of the big stuff. You just start with the little things. We which are powerful principles of God. The family of God, ultimate solution to society's problems. How? Let me just tell you. A family is a small society. Put numbers of families together, we call it a community. And from the community comes a nation. For the enemy to destroy a nation, it goes to the family. Nations are destroyed because of family. It doesn't have to worry about the nation. It just goes after what is truly God's foundation, God's heart. That is marriage, family, husband and a wife. The family is a prototype of society. Therefore, the society is only as strong as a family. You see a healthy, thriving society, you know there are great families inside that society. Amen? Society reflects what is in the family. Crime, robbery, rape, incest, family wife abuse, husband abuse, domestic violence, depression, all this comes from family. Want to fix the society, fix community? Fix the family first. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 to 5. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. Get understanding, get wisdom. Don't just get married. Everybody's rushing to get married. First, go and get understanding. First, go and get wisdom. And then you can go and get married. Hallelujah. And you will continue to transfer. Listen to me. Doesn't matter how old you are. In the legal age of marriage, or whether you're 35 or 18, if you live in ignorance, you will always be ignorant. And you will continue to transfer ignorance to the next generation. You better think about the next generation. Don't think about yourself now. Everybody thinks about themselves now. Think about the consequences and the kind of society that we are raising up. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6, the powerful scripture. That scripture always really blesses me and gets me in the right direction. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I, God says, will also reject you from being priest unto me. You can't represent me if you're a person that lives in ignorance. Hallelujah. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget, not you, but forget your children. This is a generational curse. That's why whatever you do, you must always remember the consequences. You may not sow it, reap it now, but your children and their grandchildren will reap it for you. That's why God says, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. This is serious stuff. We need to understand these things. Generational curses happen when we don't follow the principles of the Word of God. And you may not suffer from it now, but your children will reap all the rubbish that you sowed in this generation. If we are truly see changes in family, in community, and in the church, then we must put God's principles in its proper working order. Because God is a God of order. Always think about the consequences. Whatever you do, think about the consequence. Think about what you're doing now and what they're going to reap in the years to come. Countries are destroyed, nations are destroyed because of what the generation before them did. The generation has changed so much now because our children are getting educated by the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of what? Peace. As in all churches of the saints. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. For I am watching over my word to accomplish it. He says, he will watch over his word to fulfill it. God is committed to his word. Whatever he says, he is committed to that. He will fulfill it for us. We need to apply those principles in our lives and walk in it. Therefore, anything to do with his word must be in order. There are no shortcuts or cutting corners when it comes to, everybody, big O, obedience to the Word of God. Take a deep breath. Everybody okay? It's Mother's Day today. And what a better time to address the fathers. And we are addressing the fathers. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Hallelujah. Head does not mean you're the boss. Hello, somebody. Head means responsibility. You have a heavy responsibility to your wife, your children. You are the foundation of the house. They don't destroy a house because the window is broken. They destroy a house because the foundation is not. Hallelujah. You men are foundations. You carry that. No matter what you're going through, grind your teeth and say, yeah, I'm going to go through this thing until I see the light at the end of the tunnel. You go through that. Because they destroy a building. Engineers will come and see a building and say, yep, the roof's fine, everything's fine, foundation's perfect. Oh, we don't need to destroy this building. But when the foundation is destroyed, they will totally remove this building and start from ground up. My friends, husbands, brothers, sons, you are the foundation. When I counsel people who are about to get married, this is what I bring to them. You are not the boss. Your wife is the boss. Hello, somebody. You are just the manager of the company. Yeah, I understand Chinese. The Chinese, when you go to them, if you're just a manager, you're not the boss. They want to talk to the boss. Well, oh, who's the boss? Oh, I'm the manager. Oh, you know, I want to talk to the boss. So you are just the manager of the company. Your wife is the boss. She runs the house. Well, the husband say, oh, it's going really quiet now. I think we might have an altar call after this. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, your wife was created by God to be a helper. That means she has the potential to dominate with you. God created and designed women not to give instructions, but to what? Give commands. You husbands, go and get instructions from the Lord and give it to your wife so that she gives the command in the house. Oh, you don't understand that. God gave instructions to the man first in the garden. That means husband must find themselves where? In the presence of God, in the Bible, in the Constitution. Get knowledge from God, and then you can deliver that to your family. Get instructions from God, and then give it to your wife so that your wife gives the command in the house. Hallelujah. Husbands, get instructions from God and deliver it to the wife. The wife then give the command. The mother has the father's authority. The wife has the husband's authority. My mother, I might tell you what, she will bark orders at me. Man, clean your room. Clean your room. Do this and do that. If you don't, wait till your father gets home. Man, when I hear that command, all I could see was my father giving command to my mother. Telling, you do tell them to do this, do that, do that. And if I come back and this thing is not right, the rubber hose comes out. And we had the rubber hose, the belt, we had everything. We'd be running down the streets like that, you know. You guys have it too easy now, you kids. Yeah. That's right. When I hear my mom screaming, it just sends shivers up my spine because my father's name was mentioned. Expect to get a big whooping when the dad comes back home. So every time my mother barks out orders and command, all I can hear is my father giving the command and my father giving instructions to my mother. Hallelujah. And your mother does the command. The principle here is this. As the bride of Christ, the church has the father's instructions, authority, and power to speak and act with boldness. Somebody say amen to that. The bride of Christ, my friends, is empowered to declare all things. I bind you is a command, not an instruction. I lose you is not a command, it is an instruction. I come out of him is a command, not an instruction. Let me just rephrase that. It is a command, not an instruction. I bind you is a command, not an instruction. I lose you is a command, not an instruction. Come out of him is a command, not an instruction. The church binds, loses, heals, and delivers, not just as teachings, but as commands, under the authority of the husband, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who taught us what we heard from the Father? Jesus did. Jesus said, I don't do anything until I hear what the Father says. I don't do nothing except what my Father does. Hallelujah. Then when he sent the Holy Spirit, he says, and he will do what I say. He will not go and do things on his own. He will only do what I say. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all working together. Jesus is the one that gives the command. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ has also loved the church and gave himself for her. As a pastor, I am not married to my church. Say hello, somebody. I'm married to my wife, Judith, the woman that I oversee, an assembly of believers, is not my wife. It is the church. That's Jesus' wife, not my wife. Hear what I'm saying. I'm married to Judith Akalit, not living like church. Living like church belongs to Jesus. That's his wife. Ultimately, who meets the church's needs? Not me. Who meets their physical needs? Not me. Who meets spiritual needs? Not me. Christ meets all that of his wife, the church, the bride of Christ. The principles of the kingdom of God is so powerful. Some pastors are destroying their wives and children because they are spending all their time, energy, trying to do what God does. Christ can do. Pastors, leaders, your family is more important than your ministry. Hello? More important. Your family is more. If your family is not in order and you come to me, Pastor, I want to do this. No, you go and sort out your family first. Your ministry is not important. I don't care how much word God has given you in doing ministry. Go and sort out your family. Foundation must be right first. Don't come and tell me I can do this, I can do this, I can do that. Where? Is your family okay? My first question to you is, how's the family? If the family is not right, go back and sort it out. Hallelujah. As far as the church is concerned, pastors should be the prime examples of fathers caring for the family. I have seen pastors' children disobeyed, disorientated, wayward, and confused because the pastor was not the father first. Hello. Husbands, be a father first before being a pastor. Be a father first before being anything else. Love your wife as Christ loves the church. And care for your children as the Heavenly Father cares for you. Last scripture for today before I close is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 to 3. Honor your father. This is for the children. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth that God has already given us. Hallelujah. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. All the mothers, happy Mother's Day. And to you fathers, God bless you. I pray that you will continue to use the principles of the Word of God to steer your family in the right direction. Hallelujah. We cannot change what has already gone, but we can start changing the future that's coming. We can change it. We can make some changes and see the new generation of people that come through the doors of this building. Hallelujah. That's what I'm more concerned with than just pastoring a good church. I am more concerned about the future of this nation, the future of our community, giving the people the right attributes of God, giving them principles to live by so that the community changes. You want to see community change? Change the family. Bring the family into right order. Hallelujah. I just want to leave you with a beautiful scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand throne of God. I want to leave you with this scripture in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 13 to 16. If you're going through anything in life, that situation is nothing compared to what you are about to achieve in God. That's why Paul said what he said. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may hold on to lay hold of what for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God, Christ Jesus. Whatever you go through right now, read this scripture. It is far better to see what is coming before you. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you should think otherwise, God will reveal even these to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I pray, Lord, for this word today. This is a special day for the mothers, but it's also a special day for our fathers, us as husbands and sons to our family. God, I pray that whatever that has been released today, these are the key, simple principles of your word. Lord, I pray that your people, especially the fathers and the mothers, will receive this morning. I pray that you ignite this word, hallelujah, into our spirit, that we are not just people that are listening, but we have to Lord, to even receive understanding and apply, Lord, everything that you have given us. Therefore, it becomes wisdom in our lives, become people that are wise. Lord, I pray that your word will not depart from your people this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you will impress that in our hearts, that it will stay. Whenever we're in need of instructions, God, we can always go back to our deep inner being, our part that you always speak to, that we will reach out and grab those things that have already been placed in our hearts. Father, I give you praise, give you honor, and I pray for the mothers this morning. Pray for your wonderful blessing, O God. May they be blessed, hallelujah, when they go. Blessed when they come in, Father God. I pray your wonderful peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything restored, made whole, well, and complete. In their body, their soul, their spirit. All their belongings, all their provisions, whatever they need, oh God, there is nothing missing. Their relationship with their father, their relationship with their mother, their relationship with their husband and their wives, their children, oh God. I thank you that everything has already been restored by the power of the Spirit that lives in us. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Yeshua's name I pray. All God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. If you need some prayer later, you can come and see us. If there's any special needs, we can pray with you. But I believe that the word of God has been released, and the anointing that is there to break every yoke in your life is there. Be able to do that. I encourage you to always go to the word of God. Make decisions out of the word of God and not from your mind, your will, and your emotions. Because that's where the enemy operates all the time. So always go to the word of God, because that word doesn't leave. It is the same yesterday, today, and shalom. God bless you. We've got some special